Welcome to CIE Automotive first quarter 2018 results presentation. Ms. Lorea Aristizabal, Vice President of Corporate Development of CIE, will run you through the presentation, which will be followed by a Q&A session. You can request to ask a question at any point during the presentation by dialing 01 on your telephone keypad. I'm now pleased to introduce Ms. Aristizabal. Please go ahead. The floor is yours.
During this conference, we will focus on reviewing these two latter points as briefly as possible and subsequently move on to the Q&A. We'll start by talking about Dominion, when a few weeks away we made public the intention of CIE Automotive of meeting the commitment reached with its shareholders in 2011 and finally separating the projects of Automotive and Dominion. In this morning's shareholders meeting, the distribution of 50.01% of Dominion was agreed to our shareholders by a payout of a special dividend in kind by handing over 0.65709 shares of Dominion for each share of CIE Automotive. The distribution of these share certificates will become effective on July 3rd with a final dividend payout in 2017. Those of you that have not had the opportunity of seeing the results for Dominion in this Q1 2018, we highlight very solid results above the strategic guidelines and some brief headlines that you can complete by listening to the conference that was held last Thursday. An adjusted revenue which grew 20%, exceeding €192 million, including an organic growth of 11%, a contribution of €20 million from Phonehouse, a negative impact of minus 3.5% because of the exchange rate, and the negative impact of the Easter holidays, which this year fell in the first quarter. The net income has risen to €5.9 million in 2018, 34% more. A conversion of EBITDA into operating cash flow at more than 60%, and the current backlog is €600 million. As I was saying, you can listen to the Dominion conference to review all this data, and we'll focus on Automotive, where sales have grown 10%, exceeding €771 million, in spite of the strong impact of the minus 7% because of the exchange rate in all the currencies in which we operate. The most important thing, the organic growth, which continues at a double-digit figure, 12% in an almost flat market, and is being reinforced in all geographic areas. If we refer to NAFTA, there has been a production drop in this first quarter, close to 3%, driven down by minus 11% in Canada and minus 4% in the United States versus a growth of 5% in Mexico. It's important to consider, as mentioned earlier, that the Easter holidays fell this year in the first quarter and in 2017, and they fell in the second quarter. In this context of minus 3% in the market, CIE has had an organic growth of 5%. What can we expect from NAFTA? For the year, we can expect a growth of around 1% with drops in Canada, with growth in Mexico, and in between a flat market or a slight recovery for the United States. The NAFTA market would stabilize around 17 million vehicles produced. Europe, a mature market, which basically due to the effect of the Easter holidays, as mentioned earlier, has slightly shrunk during the first quarter, minus 0.3%. And in this practically flat market, an organic growth of more than 5% at CIE. What can we expect from Europe? A Europe that will continue to bring good news. It could finish the year with approximately 2% growth. This would take us to around 22.5 million vehicles produced. Brazil, a market in the first quarter with a production increase of 10.5%, which continues the recovery in 2017. And versus this 10%, 46% organic growth at CIE. We expect the Brazilian market to continue with its good streak and this year exceed 3 million vehicles. This would imply a double-digit growth for the second year running. This time around 14% is the figure to be expected. India, in the first quarter, an increase in production of 9.5% in this market, which makes it one of the best markets and with the best prospects for the future. An organic growth of 25% CIE versus that 9% market growth, and we have to expect a market that will continue to prove solid during the rest of the year, and it is expected to grow around 8%, up to 5 million vehicles, and this way the country would be consolidated as the world's fourth producer behind China, United States and Germany. Finally, China, a production drop of around 3%, which is considered seasonal, and Sphere with an organic growth of 19% compared to that minus 3. I mentioned that it is expected that the drop will be seasonal because the forecast for the year is a growth of approximately 2%, up to 28.6 million vehicles. Automotive operating margins. Well, the big headline, without a doubt, is the improvement of 130 basis points in the EBIT margin over sales, reaching 13.4% versus 12.1% in the same period last year. To be especially highlighted are the improvements in Brazil, where the operational leverage continues, which has taken the EBIT margin up to 13%, and Asia, where operating improvements have made it possible to increase the EBIT margin to almost 12%. If we now focus on the balance sheet, we're talking about a debt at the closing of the first quarter of 936.5 million euros, which represents a net financial debt ratio of 1.69 times. The main highlights to be considered in the cash flow, a conversion of 58% of the EBITDA in operating cash flow, surpassing the strategic objective, a payout of almost 30 million in earnouts, in this case focused on Dominion, 36 million in dividends, a cash flow operating variation of minus 75 million, including almost 40 million from the payout for the plan 2013-2017 for executive incentives in the group, and a CAPEX, where it has to be said that the project schedule means that the first quarter of 2018 is a little bit more intensive in investment in growth, and this part of the growth CAPEX is around 3% of sales. If we comment on the updating of the strategic objectives for 2020, which you were able to see in the presentation of our CEO before the shareholders meeting this morning. This update is due to two factors. On the one hand, as the plan moves forward, we have a greater visibility of 2020. But on the other hand, the departure of Dominion means that it is necessary to update the guidance in order to make the automotive perimeter visible, which is what is going to be present over the next few years. So for the three remaining years in the plan, 2018, 2019, 2020, prospectively, our strategic commitment considers with the current perimeter an organic growth of approximately three times the market, a market that in these 3 years is going to grow at a rate of a little bit more than 2%, an improvement of more than 200 basis points in the operating margins up to and exceeding that 14% EBIT margin mentioned during the presentation, and an increase in net income of 50%. We start in 2017, where the income for automotive was 200 million, and we'll reach 300 million only with automotive. More than 60 million euros in additional income to that initially envisaged in the plan. The compliance of these new objectives will mean that at the end of the strategic plan, 2016-2020, 5 years of the strategic plan, the automotive business will have grown during that period four times the market growth and will have multiplied its profits by 2.5 times. And we will generate a billion more in value for the shareholder than in the initial commitment launched in 2016, both because of additional income and because of the extraordinary additional dividend. With this review of the objectives, we complete the presentation and hand over to any questions. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The Q&A session begins now. If you wish to ask a question, please dial 01 on your keypad. To ensure sound quality, we recommend that you use a landline for your questions. Thank you. The first question is from Álvaro Aristegui from Ahorro y Corporación. Go ahead, please. Hello, Lorea. Good afternoon. I wanted to know whether you could explain, I'm not sure whether I understood it properly, the tax impact of the dividend payout and then the dividend in kind and how that operation is structured. Thank you. Hello, Álvaro. Good afternoon. Well, as of now, after being approved by the shareholders meeting, it will be seen on the CIE website. This will be explained more specifically. But as the Secretary of the Board explained this morning, the operations are the following. The payout of an extraordinary dividend in kind means a number of tax withholdings, and that withholding is going to be made in the cash payment for the complementary dividend paid out at the same time. 0.28 euros per share in the additional dividend paid in cash on July 3rd will be slightly cut back by the withholding of taxes done by CIE according to the legislation because of the dividend in kind. And this will be published now that the shareholders meeting approved this dividend this morning. And the specific amount is unknown. Now that it has been approved by the shareholders meeting, it will be made available to all shareholders through the website, as we do with all the other dividends. The Dominion shares are assigned at their price as of July 3rd. If they sold that day, would the shareholder have zero capital gains? Market price, correct? Great, thank you very much. Thank you very much. The next question is from Juan Canoes from Fidentiis. Go ahead, please. Hello, Lorea. I had a question. I see that you've increased, I don't know whether it's right, CapEx over sales, 7 to 7.5. I would like to know whether you have any additional growth plans over and above the ones you announced at the beginning of the plan in 2016 or 15. Yes, Juan. If you look at the presentation on the evolution of the objectives, there's a page where we present the evolution in the objectives. You'll see that initially we spoke about a certain growth, and now we're talking about a higher revised figure, and this in turn means a slightly higher investment, but also provides greater profitability, also provides more results, also a little bit more debt. 0.7 has been revised to 1. So it's more growth, more profitability, a little bit more investment, and a little bit more debt within limits, which I would say are very reasonable. But yes, it all goes together.
Hello, excuse me. I think Manuel Cuello tried to ask a question, but we didn't hear it in the room. So Manuel, if you're listening, if you could please repeat it, because we had some technical problem and couldn't hear you.
Yes, in fact, it's Juan Canovas from Fidentiis speaking. Sorry, Lorea, I wanted to ask where does this additional growth come from that you're budgeting? Sorry, Juan, that was the question we didn't hear. Well, in all geographic areas to some extent, when we launched the strategic plan, we had much less optimistic prospects for Brazil than we have today. The initial strategic plan was made at the end of 2015. And then a market like the Brazilian market wasn't as visible as it is today, especially the positive visibility. A market like the Indian market, the figures look good, but these very high growth figures, 8, 9, 10% as seen for 10 year, next year were visible. Europe, where everybody said that there was bad news and it would be flat, and it's not actually being flat. It's a mature market growing at 2, 3%. I don't think I can give you a single geographic area, but fortunately in the headline we're repeating quarter after quarter is that all geographic areas, a little bit more, a little bit less, giving results, and we're beating the market in every one. So to answer your question, there isn't one area. Thank you very much. The next question is by Manuel Cuello from CaixaBank BPI. Thank you. Go ahead, please. Hello, Lorea. So just a question regarding working capital. The variation in this quarter, according to the presentation, was 6 million compared to 8 in last year's quarter. And you mentioned that that is partly related to the incentive plan. The payment has just been made. So my question is, last year, was there also an incentive plan, yes or no? And regarding the variation in working capital, this has mainly to do with what? Customers, increase in stock. Thank you. Hello, Manuel. Good afternoon. Well, a couple of things. First of all, the incentive plan, and you can look this up. It was approved at the shareholders meeting held in April 2014, and we have the audited accounts for the last 4 years. And you'll be able to see that it's a multi-annual plan. In other words, it covered the period 2013 to 17, and was to be paid out in the first quarter of 2018. So it's an absolute one-off, and if we wanted to normalize it, to use the term, we would have to distribute it over the last 5 years and over all quarters. So it's an absolute one-off of almost 40 million euros in this quarter. And this attracts attention because it's 75. If we take away the incentive plan part of it, the amount is much more reasonable. And I'm speaking from memory, but I don't think I'm far wrong. In the first quarter last year, there was also an investment in working capital, probably not 30 million, but it was also significant. If I remember properly, in the second quarter, it was the opposite. It was a generation of working capital. In the third, it was more or less flat, I would say. And in the fourth, again, there was an investment in working capital. So I think that what has attracted attention is the figure 75. But if you take away the incentive plan, the figure is around 30. And in the last 2 or 3 years, and if you want to check the quarterly cash flows, you'll see that this is a normal variation related to the payment and collection periods and slightly higher or lower stock levels. We're talking about a 3.5 billion company. A 30 million move in working capital doesn't seem at all significant. It was 8 million. Considering that this is related to some normal volatility in working capital, for the end of the year, we could estimate, at excluding the bonus related to the remuneration plan, developments in line with previous years. Or do we need to consider your expansion or other connections in the market that could make the working capital level somewhat different this year? No, Manuel, we don't see anything different to other years. If I remember properly, in 2016, the working capital evolution wasn't flat, but almost. Last year, there was a slight generation, mainly because of improvement in some company that had joined the perimeter, and we were able to improve their working capital. This year, it's true that there's a one-off, but as operating a working capital outside that one-off, we don't expect any different evolution. There's no different policy on working capital. There is absolutely nothing. So I would have to say that the estimates for the end of the year are normal regarding working capital. Thank you. Thank you very much. And just to remind you once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please dial 01 on your keyboards now. Thank you very much. We have no further questions in Spanish, so we're going to move on to other questions in English.
The first question in English comes from Arian Deron from Societe Generale. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening, Erwan Dagan speaking from Société Générale. So I've got one question, Lauréa, on your margin guidance for 2020. So when I look at your performance in Q1 this year, you achieve a 17.8% EBITDA margin and 13.4% EBIT margin. So my question is relatively simple. Where can we expect improvement on the by region going forward? Because you are very close already to your 2020 target. Thank you.
Erwan, moving on.
Erwan, very good afternoon. The first thing is that we can't believe that what we've seen in the first quarter is going to be the annualized result. If you look at the past few years, you'll see that the first two quarters generally are stronger quarters, both in activity and therefore in margins with a certain leverage. And usually the margins in the first two quarters are a little bit higher than the last two quarters, quarters three and four, I mean, during the second half of the year. So we shouldn't take what we've seen in this first quarter as what the margin is going to be for 2018. And as a global figure for the year, it will probably be a little bit less. So from here to the margin we've given to 2020, there is still a significant improvement to be made. And where is it going to come from? Well, I'm continuing along the lines of the strategic lines in the plan. In other words, there are certain areas, such as the NAFTA area or the Europe area, where margins are much more optimized than in other areas related to Mahindra, CIE, or Brazil, where there's still a way to go. So it will be a mix between those areas that already have a good margin with others where margins can be improved. But again, we shouldn't take the margins from the first quarter as the margins for 2018, and we shouldn't think that that improvement has already been consolidated.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Let me remind you again, if you have any comments or questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad to enter a queue. Thank you. Please be informed that there might be a short silence while
we have no more questions
in the call. So I now give you back the floor. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for your time, and good luck with the rest of the conferences you have ahead of you.